It's interesting. We come week after week, and because this is a church, we talk about God. And we should do that, and that's a good thing. But when you leave here, I hope at times there are questions that come into your life. One of those questions that I think all of us wrestle with, including myself, is, does God really hear me? Does God really hear me when I'm going cry out to Him? I can't tell you as a pastor how many conversations I've had. I've even had one very recently, within the last couple of weeks, with someone who came into my office and literally, in a roundabout way of saying, where's God? Does God even hear me? When I reach out and I want to talk to God and I share things, does God really hear me? And it's been going on, this issue, for quite a while now. Is God ever going to do something? And I sit on the other side of my desk usually and I say, wow, that is such a good question. We're going to explore that question this morning for a little bit. Now, it's interesting, as I get a little older, my hearing gets a little poorer. Some people have accused me of selective hearing, too, at times. And I think maybe that's part of it, maybe not. And there are times, honestly, though, I can't hear what people are saying. Let me tell you something as we begin this morning. God is not that way. It doesn't matter how low you whisper. He never has problems hearing. He can hear everything you say, and one of the reasons is because He is God. What we're going to do is look at a story this morning, and it's a story that's somewhat familiar maybe to many of you, maybe it's new for some of you, but this story has a main point, and as we get to it, we will talk about that, but it all relates to God hearing, and does He hear me? And if you hear me, God, why haven't you done something? How can this situation in my life just keep going on and on? That's kind of a second question we're going to talk about this morning. So if you're ready, we're in a series entitled My Favorites. This is the last one of this series. It's actually been 10 weeks that I have done this. And today we're going to talk about, does God hear me? We're going to be in the first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. Chapter 16, please get a Bible, either a blue one or another one if you don't have one, because you'll want to follow along. This is a very interesting question. And I believe if I were to say to you folks, does God hear you? You're going to say, yeah, He does. And I say, show me. Show me where it says this in the Bible so that I can know this for certain. And more than that, is He ever going to do anything? If He hears me, how can God not do something? Very, very good questions. All right, so here we are in Genesis chapter 16. Let me review a little bit here. In Genesis chapter 13, Abraham called. Abraham hears God's voice. And God says, I want you to go, I want you to leave and go to the land I will show you. Abraham, being a man of faith and obedience, didn't even really know God. And he followed Him. And he took a trip that God led him on. He then came to the land and looked at it, and he had a nephew with him named Lot. He said, Lot, what land do you want to take? And Lot took some land, and Abram took some land, and they separated, and they ended up setting up camp in these areas. Well, because Lot made a poor choice, in the next chapter, Abram had to go rescue him from the city and take care of him. Then after that, in chapter 15 of Genesis, God gave him what is called a covenant. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And God said, in essence, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation from you. And He made that covenant with him. And, you know, I'm sure Abraham, after hearing from God, went home and told his wife. And they talked, and they're excited. And we're going to have, God says, a nation is going to come from you and me. And so Sarai, his wife, it's not Sarah yet, it's Sarai, hears this. But then some time passes. And, you know, Abraham and Sarai, struggle with the same thing you and I do, being impatient. Our timetable is not God's timetable. His timetable is perfect, but it seems like it takes forever at times. Do I hear an amen for that? Amen. But it's God's timetable, and He knows what He's doing. So, chapter 16 opens, and we have Sarai maybe trying to help God out here a little bit. Maybe you know this story, maybe not. Here we go, chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. That was very important in that day and that time to have children, carry on the family line. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. All right? No children. 85 and 75 years old at this point in their life. Sarai is thinking, ain't going to happen. What about what God said? Well, where we have limitations, God has no limitations. But I can understand that with a woman who's 75, said the nation's going to come from her, and it's past childbearing years. And so she steps in. So she said, verse 2 to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. All right, now you need to understand some of these interesting customs that they had in that day and time. Yeah, you can see that already. Actually, there were laws that would allow that. In the custom of that day, I'm not sure that was God's plan here. I know it wasn't. But Sarai kind of moved ahead of God. Have we ever been guilty of that? I mean, being impatient and trying to make things happen? Well, she did in this case and gave her maid to be with Abram. All right, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Verse 4. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. All right, now we got some real problems, don't we? Verse 5. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises you, or despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Yeah, Abram, this is a no-win situation, isn't it? Polygamy does not work. Good thing it is outlawed, and it's just a huge mess that's going on now between these two women. And rightly so. What a mess. And so, what happens? Verse 6, "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. It got just nasty between these two ladies, and she mistreated her, and she left. All right. Now, there's a couple of minor points I'm going to bring up in this lesson here this morning. And it's interesting with Sarai here, we don't see, at least we don't have it recorded, that she called on the Lord, that she was in communication with the Lord, that she said, you know, "I know there's a promise, God, give me patience." And we don't see anything like that. And so she stepped up and took matters into her own hands, something that many of us are guilty of doing today to try and help God along when God needs absolutely no help on our part. But we do that. We're human. Amen? Absolutely. We can identify with this. We do this too many times. All right, so let's make a key observation. Go to your outline. Let me just make a key observation. When we take matters into our own hands, it can make a mess. And this is a mess at this point. A big mess. Two women, same house. Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to go there. What a mess. All right? When we take matters into our own hands, it can make a mess. All right, so when we're talking about when God is at work and God is doing things and He's got you in a place where He's working some issues of patience with you, this is the hardest thing, to just be still and wait on God. Look at the mess here. Now, it's interesting. I planned to do this message 2 months ago. And what we're going to see as the story continues to unfold is the whole thing in the Middle East right now starts right here. All right? So Hagar fled from her. Verse 7. We're going to go through some more verses here. The angel of the Lord found her near a spring in the desert. It was that spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Now, this is actually God here. He knows exactly what's going on, but he asks the question anyway. God, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Okay, I knew that as God. Verse 9, then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. And I'm sure those are really hard words for her to hear. It's not going real well here, God. She can't stand me, and quite frankly, I can't stand her anymore. God says, go and do that. All right, the angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. Too numerous to count. All right? The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son, for you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your what? Misery. All right? He will be a wild donkey of a man. Isn't that an interesting description of a man? There may be a few of us around here like that. All right. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. All right. So, who is this nation that is going to come from Hagar? The Arabs. What's going to happen is Sarai will have a son in the future. He will be the father of the nation of Israel. This is where you get the Israel-Arab mess. It starts right here. It starts with Sarai. It's all her fault. And had you or I been there, we would have made the same mistake. We would have yucked it up too, because we're all sinners saved by grace. All right. Now, you just need to know that. This is where a lot of this is starting from. All right, he will have hostility towards all his brothers. Verse 13, Hagar is now going to speak. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was, listen to this, 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. All right. Nice little story. Interesting thought. First of all, we can mess stuff up when we step in and try and help God out. Just a little key observation. Second thing is, this is where the Jews, the nation of Israel, start. Now we have the Arabs. This is where it all started. This is where it all got yucked up in the beginning. That's not a very biblical term, but that's what happened. And they will fight till the Lord comes back and settles this. It's not going to be settled until he comes back, I believe, ultimately. All right, well, what is the point of this story? You know, you can look at this and say, okay, very good. What we want to do now is talk about the point of this story. It's the name of the son, Ishmael, I believe. There are some minor points, but it's that God hears. Now, let's do this. On your outline, key verse. Key verse. Now, you're going to have a bunch of little fill-ins. We're going to move through a lot of these rather quickly, and then I need to talk to you about some things. Key verse is verse 11. If you write that down. The Lord has heard your misery. When she was in the desert, we have an example of someone crying out to the Lord. He has heard your misery. God hears when you cry out to him. He is God. He has the ability to hear each and every one of us at the same time. We can only handle one or two conversations. I think there are some ladies that can maybe handle four or five at one time, but no more. God can handle all of them at once. He hears your misery. This is a chapter in the Old Testament that teaches when you cry out to God, he hears you. Ishmael means God hears, and this is very important. When you're thinking and you're crying out to God, and it's been a while, and you're consistently doing this, and you're wondering, God, are you even there? Let me assure you, based on this chapter in the Old Testament, God hears you. Ishmael means God hears you. Now, what I'm going to do to the next page, or the next page, the next part of your outline, let's go through this whole process then. And the first statement is this: God hears your prayer. Let me assure you of that. God hears your prayer. When you call out to Him, God hears your prayer. He is well aware of what's going on in your life before you ever pray, but He implores you to pray. God hears your prayer. Second, God sees your plight or your problem. God sees it. God sees your plight. God sees your problem. He knows exactly what's going on. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is all-present. He is all-knowing. God sees your plight. Okay, next. God understands your predicament. God understands your predicament. God understands it. He is God, and before there were ever problems, He already knew there would be mega problems with these people called humans, and He understands your predicament. This is where it gets a little more difficult, though, as I keep going through this message and doing this. And now, important statement here. God has the power to intervene. God has the power to intervene. And this is where, as humans, we're looking at it. God, this is my situation, and You know about it, and You have the power to intervene. Then why don't You do it, God? Why don't You do it? Why are You letting me go through whatever this situation is, and it's just driving me nuts? And God, do You really care? And you know, I struggle like that. I hope you can see in me some of the struggle that you have at times. You better struggle with some of this. I do. God has the power to intervene. God could do something. And here's what happens now. We're going to kind of take this a little direction. I'm going to come back to it like this. All right, God, do You really know what You're doing? My hands are on my hip, God. I'm a little ticked off at You, God. Why are You putting me through this? Now, maybe you don't put your hands on your hips like I'm doing right now, but your attitude says it. I think there are times that we all struggle, and we all might even get a little bit more that, yeah, I understand this thing, You understand, and You know what's going on, but why don't You do something, God? How can You do this? You're a God of justice, and, you know, you go down that path, you'll go nuts. Yes, God could intervene in every situation. Problem is, God has other plans that are beyond ours. And whenever I do James chapter 1, it talks about trials and the purpose of patience and trials in our lives. I think that's part of it. Some of it, though, you have to know, is just plain old sin by mankind. And some of the things that mankind does to other man is terrible and horrific. And we're saying, God, why don't You just smote them? And He doesn't. You know what? This part of this message this morning is let God be God. I cannot put God in a box and figure Him out, and neither can you. And sometimes we try and put God in this little thing here and say, well, You better fit into this solution for me. And God says, no, I made the whole thing. I am God, and I will do in My wisdom what is best. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that at times. This is a tough question. It's not an easy question to answer. Key idea, last part on your outline, key idea, and it's this. God does care about you. Trust Him to do what is best for you. And oh my goodness, this is a tough one too. God does care about you. But part of this involves trusting Him to do what is best for you. And I think there's situations that we could bring up in this room now, and we're looking at it and say, there is nothing good about this, and how could a just God do this? That one I struggle with. And that one I don't have an answer for you. I don't. But God is God, and He's a whole lot bigger than Dave and this church. And we're going to trust Him to do what is best for you. And this is faith. And this is where some of those hard lessons of life hit home. And it's just tough stuff. Christian life is never designed to be a simple, easy, rosy cakewalk. It's not. It's hard, it's tough, it's difficult, but we are never alone because God is there. And He hears us. Okay, final thought on your outline. Final thought is this. There's a sense in which in this story we need to patiently wait on Him. We need to trust Him. We need to put our faith in Him. Easier said than done. Amen? Amen to that. All right, and finally, on this, call on Him. Call on Him. We know that Hagar did this because God called back and said, "The Lord has heard your misery." She did talk to Him. Okay, I'm not done this morning. I'm done with the outline. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. And I'm going to do something this morning where I'm going through a real difficult time. And through myself, I want you to just kind of visualize what this might look like with God. God, I'm going through a difficult time, and I want a solution, God, and I've been patient, but I want a solution, God, and I want it now. And I don't deserve to go through this, God. I don't deserve whatever's happening in my life. God, I don't trust you. God, I don't like what you're doing. God, there's times that I shake my fist at you. Watch out, I might get smoked here this morning. All right? But there are times, and you might not do it in front of a congregation like I'm doing it right now, but there are times you better struggle with some of this stuff, and you pour out to God, and there are times you even get angry at God. People do. I can just demonstrate that. What I'd like to do this morning is flip this. What we're going to do is look in an Old Testament book here in Job. Job, if you go to the middle of your Bible, would be the book of Psalms. One book before the middle is called Job. And Job got involved in a situation in chapter 1 where God and Satan were having a conversation. And Satan said, "Well, you protect Job and he's doing great because you protect him." God said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" And Satan says, "Take your protection away. Let me go after him for a while. And then let's see if he doesn't curse you, God." God agreed to that. God did not have to do that. He agreed to that. And that is the story of Job. What happens is everything wrong happens in Job's life. He loses the house, the kids, the livestock, everything. And he sits out there after losing everything, sits on the ground. The dogs come and lick his sores. I mean, it's just really bad what's going on. And he has some friends that come to try and advise him. And really, they give him some pretty bad advice initially. And some of them come around, but for the most part, it's a mess. Now, what happens is Job gets the attitude that I just had. That it was like, "God, come on, what's going on? Enough of this. Remove this. I don't want to deal with this anymore." And I think there's times when we really come to that point. What I want you to do is open your Bible to Job chapter 38. Get out a pen. You're going to circle some verses with me this morning. I don't normally do this, but you need your Bible for this. And what happens in Job chapter 38 is God answering Job. If you have ever been like Pastor Dave just was, with issues going on in his life, and struggling, and maybe even getting a little upset at God, how does God see that? All right, now, what happens in this story, in beginning in chapter 38, Job is just kind of ticked off at God and just kind of dumped it all. And God says, "Okay, all right, Job, let me talk to you and you answer me." Watch what God does. What I want you to do is I'm going to ask you to circle some verses because I went through this a couple weeks ago and it's very humbling. And you need to keep this marked in your Bible. It's one of the most powerful messages in the whole Bible. Okay, Job chapter 38. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me.' How about if God came to you and did that? Let me tell you something. Thank you for the questions. Now it's my turn as God. Let's begin. Verse 4. So what I'd like you to do is circle 38, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Where were you, Dave? Yeah, you're upset at me. Tell me about where you were when the earth's foundation was laid. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know, Dave. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Okay? What I'm going to do is highlight this. Circle verse 8. I'm using myself as the example here, okay, in following what I've done. Dave, let me ask you something else. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, and I set limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, this far you may come and no further, here is where your proud way halt. All right, Dave, you're all knowing. You want to put me in my place? Tell me about the sea. Who set the limits? You, Dave? I'm sinking a little lower in my chair now. Verse 12, circle this verse. Dave, have you ever given orders to the morning? Dave, do you call the morning out? Or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by edges and shake the wicked out of it? Dave, let's talk about the morning. You get one every day. Do you call it? Did you set it up? Is it your idea? Did you do it, Dave? Go to verse 22. Same chapter, verse 22. Circle it. Dave, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? I was in a hailstorm in Colorado 2 weeks ago. It just pelted everything. I knew this verse was in here. I'm in my car. I can't get out. I can't do anything. I drive under a gas station covering, and it just plastered it. And I thought of this verse. Yeah, Dave, tell me, God, about hail, how it happens. I can call it anytime, anywhere, any place, and I can do it. Drop down to verse 35. Again, myself as the example. Did you send the lightning bolts on their way, Dave? Do they report to you, here we are? That's even humorous. I was in lightning in Colorado Springs. I was on a golf course. And that stuff has never been in lightning in a while. And I heard when I'm gone here, we had some thunderstorms and lightning and thunder. All right, Dave, and let me put it now. Let me go your way. If you've ever done this with God, you tell God where thunder and lightning comes from, and it reports to Him. And you have the audacity, like I do, to question God. Whew. 39. Chapter 39, verse 1. You're going to need to read this later. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? Well, Dave, now he's going to do something very interesting. He's going to nature again. It's interesting, this whole illustration is about nature that you and I know a lot about and see and experience. Yeah, Dave, tell me about animals. Tell me about creation. Tell me about procreation. Tell me about all that. Dave, you want to question me? Drop down to verse 26. It's going to talk about birds here. It's pretty amazing. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom? I can't say I had anything to do with the hawk flying and spread his wings toward the south. Does the eagle soar at your command and build his nest on high? He dwells on a cliff and stays there at night. A rocky crag is his stronghold. From there he seeks out his food. His eyes detect it from afar. Tell me about animals, Dave. You want to question me, God? Tell me about animals. Tell me about eagles. See where I'm going with this? This is an amazing section of God's Word. Whenever you feel a little uppity, read this. Chapter 40, verse 1. The Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? You want to correct God? You want to tell God His place. And God says, you want to correct me? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Job says, all right, I blew it, God. And God says, wait a minute, I'm not done. This is God speaking. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? God, this is one of the strongest passages in the whole Bible. There are some really strong passages. God is being very strong here, very direct, and I'm glad he did because we need to hear this. What you need to do is continue to go through here. I'm not going to read all this because it would take me too long. You get the idea. Go to chapter 42. Turn the page. Chapter 42. What has happened here is just example after example after example of the things that God has done about creation, about nature, about heaven, about earth. It's everything. And Job just gets blown away. And maybe in a sense, occasionally you and I need to get blown away by God. Because I'm not sure if you've looked at Job 38 to 42 in a while. But I have, and it's one of the most humbling things to do when you recognize just how puny and insignificant you and I are and how big we think we are. God says, tell me about things, son. 42, chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Maybe that's enough for this morning. At times, we will not understand things, what God is doing. This is where faith and trust comes in. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Verse 4, you said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My eyes had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job said, I'm wrong, God. I repent in dust and ashes. Now, maybe this morning we just need a moment of silence here. Maybe this hasn't been an issue for you in your life in a while, but it will be at times because life is tough and difficult and hard. Number one, talk to God. That is what this is about. Talking to God, praying to Him, asking Him for help. Absolutely. On the other side, I believe there's even a healthy side of questioning God. I think it can be done, it can be done well. But then there's a side that people go to where they get mad at God, ticked off at God, and say, you don't know what you're talking about. And God says, stop! Let's go to Job 38 to 40, and you tell me, God, what I'm doing, and you set me straight. And it's one of the strongest chapters in the Bible that does that. This morning, all I would say is that we will experience hard times. You need people around you that can support you when you go through them. That's why we have a church. That's why we have small groups. That is what that is for. That is God's idea of going through hard times with people around you. We're going to talk about that at the end of August. We're going to start signing up again and going again with small groups and all of that when I come back. That is a key part of this. On the other side of that, your issues with God. Better deal with your issues with God. Get a right attitude towards God. Ask Him for forgiveness if you haven't handled it well. Trust Him. Have others support you and come along beside you and encourage you. Amen? That's what you do when hard times hit. It's not about going it alone, going up the trail alone by yourself, nobody helping you. That's not life. That's not what the New Testament is about. It's interesting. He repented. The rest of that chapter, please read chapter 42. God restored to him children, household, animals. I mean, the description is unbelievable of what God did. This man trusted God. This man, how can I say, went off against God. God dealt with him, and because he repented, God blessed him. How gracious is our God? He could just go, boom. I'd been gone this morning raising my fist to God. Yet so many people do that. God is a gracious, caring God. But He is God, and you and I are not, and we will not understand all this until He makes it right. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for Job. And I admit, I have not looked at these chapters in years. And Lord, when this message was put on my heart from Your Spirit, I recognize just how sometimes arrogant we as humans are. God, I ask for forgiveness of myself and my pride against You. Ask forgiveness of these people gathered here with me this morning who look at You and maybe don't have a right attitude or a right heart. Lord, it's tough to be patient. We struggle with that. It's tough to trust something. Help us to be able to do both of these things as we grow in our walk with You and trust You. Lord, we love You and we thank You that You are God, that You are in control. It doesn't matter what we think, in a sense. We think we've got it all figured out. No. Lord, we want to seek You. We want to walk with You, live for You, because that's what life is about. Not about our own thing and our own plans and our own work. It's about Your work and Your ministry. Lord, we want to humbly acknowledge that and humbly do that. Lord, we love You and thank You for what You are doing. In Jesus' name, thank You that we can give. Amen.